Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. Welcome to the third episode of the 5 Series. Alhamdulillah, we are now in the chapter of Salah, the chapter of prayer. So many questions about prayer, right? I mean, a lot of people have and this is rightfully so, because, you know, prayer is such an important aspect of our religion. I would almost say, like, Islam is almost synonymous with prayer. A lot of people, when they first witness anything, you know, when it comes to Islam, they always say, oh, you guys are the ones that, like, pray 5 times a day, right? And then you have to awkwardly tell people that, oh yeah, I try, because, you know, you're obviously a human being and sometimes we fall short in our obligations to Allah. And so, you know, prayer has always been something in the Islamic realm as something that has always been a very interesting subject matter for all Muslims, right? Whether it's trying to learn more about it, whether it is trying to perfect it, whether it's trying to learn the details and the meanings behind prayer. There's a lot of different, you know, elements of Salah that we as Muslims, you know, honestly, we need to kind of learn more about and also brush up upon ourselves. And so, alhamdulillah, today's episode will feature the question of how many prayers are there. You know, we as Muslims know of our 5 obligatory prayers, right? Most of us know about Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the 5 that we are supposed to pray. But are there more than just 5 prayers a day that we as Muslims should be praying? And what are the benefits and the rewards of the prayers that we pray during a day? Is there a specific reward for the obligatory salah? Is there a specific reward for the salah that we call sunnah? Is there some specific reward in doing prayers that are completely voluntary by nature? What are the details of that? So the first question that I wanted to kind of share with everybody here today is, what differentiates one who does extra versus one who does the bare minimum? Okay, I'm actually going to type it out here for all of our Instagram followers. What is the difference between one who does extra versus the one who does the bare minimum? That's the question I wanted to actually post on our forum today. And I want everyone to, inshallah, take a good look at that question. I've posted it on the prompt on our Instagram live. And also I'll type it in on, you can see it on Facebook live as well, the prompt on your screen. So what is the difference between one who does extra versus the one who does the bare minimum, right? What's the differentiating factor between somebody who barely tries to squeeze through by doing the obligatory versus the one who tries to go above and beyond? And this is actually not only a spiritual question, but think about just generally in life. What's the difference between somebody who just does whatever they're told to versus the one who goes above and beyond and does something that is not even required of them to do, but they do it because they love it so much? What's the difference? I want to hear people's kind of thoughts and opinions on this. So today, inshallah, we're going to be covering a few things as you guys think about this prompt. Number one, we're going to be talking about what the fard salah is. What are the fara'id? What are the things that makes a prayer obligatory? And then we're going to talk a little bit about sunnah. What is something that is a benefit of sunnah prayer? Because a lot of us sometimes, and we talked about this a little bit in our last series that we talked about in the Shahada series, where we were defining the issue in our own communities, in our own societies, where we honestly say the word sunnah as almost like a passing by thing, right? That we say sunnah as, oh, you don't really have to do it. It's just something that's like nice to do, but you don't really have to do it, right? And then what's the concept of nafil salah? Things that are completely voluntary upon you as a person. And then also, what are the times of the day where you should not pray at all? Did you guys know that there's actually a form of or timings during the day where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade us to actually pray during those periods of time? There's actually periods of time during the day in which you are forbidden to pray in Islam as a Muslim. So the first thing is, what is a fard, an obligatory prayer? What is an obligatory obligatory prayer? What's an obligatory prayer? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when he was asked about the best deed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the best deed anyone can do is performing the obligatory prayers at the beginning of their time. Okay, the best deed anyone can do is performing the obligatory prayers at the beginning of their time, meaning not delaying the salah, not giving it any less of the attention than it actually deserves, and praying it on time, on in punctuality, in punctual form. The Prophet ﷺ said that that is the best deed a person can do. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also mentions, he says in the Quran, he says, "Hafidhu 'ala salawati wa salatul wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin." Allah says in the Quran, "Hafidhu 'ala salawat." He says, "Preserve your prayers. Preserve your prayers. Preserve your salah. Hafidhu 'ala salawat wa salatul wa salatil wusta." Allah says, "And especially the middle prayer." And this is kind of has like a really interesting kind of background behind it. The prayer that Allah is talking about in this verse, in this ayah specifically, is the Asr Salah. There's a whole story behind it. We don't have time to kind of dive into it today. I apologize. But there's a story behind it that inshallah one day we'll get into. And then Allah says, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand before Allah, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Devoutly obedient. Stand in front of your Lord devoutly obedient. So we know that there is a very strong obligatory nature when it comes to our five daily prayers. There's actually a hadith in the books of Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that there are five prayers that Allah obligated the slaves to perform. There are five prayers in which Allah obligated his servants and his slaves to perform. Whoever performs them properly without belittling their obligation, Allah promised to admit him or her into paradise. Whoever leaves them and does not have a promise from Allah to have paradise without punishment before it. If he willed, he punishes him. And if he willed, he forgives him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually he says that there is this idea that obligation transcends any sort of other action, okay? That obligation transcends any sort of other action. If there is an obligation for you to do something, it is better for you to do that in punctual time, on time, in a timely manner, than any other thing you can possibly do. And this is why, by the way, punctuality is a big thing, you know, in our religion. Unfortunately, culturally, we've kind of like degraded that concept and that principle by just showing up late, right? We call this DST or Desi Standard Time or AST, Arab Standard Time, where we as a community, those of you know who are from that cultural background, if you're any other culture, maybe you can chime in, because those are the cultures that I have directly been in kind of exposure to. But we almost like, you know, whenever somebody invites us for something at 7 o'clock, we show up at 8 o'clock. Whenever someone tells us to be on time at 5:30, we show up at 6 o'clock. There's this really bad habit in our communities where we are actually robbing people of their time, right? By showing up late to something, actually what you're saying is that your time is more valuable than theirs. What you're actually saying is that you don't respect their time. And so almost, you know, the scholars even mentioned in the books of, you know, adab and etiquette and manners, they say that when you actually delay your salah, you're almost telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's not worth your time, that he's not worth your time. And the scholars say, what a shame in that that is, right? That we are even willing to pray our salah like as the timing dwindles down. Therefore, telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, I get it, that, you know, prayer is supposed to be done on time, but my time is more valuable than yours. You know, how would it seem if you're talking to Allah one day and you said, you know, yeah, Allah, I valued my time over yours. This is the importance of, you know, being punctual in our time. And so when it comes to the five obligatory salah, we know that there are exactly five of them. And the story we told, you know, a couple of weeks ago or last week, we were talking about how the Prophet ascended to the heavens and he got that order from God about praying five times a day. It actually started off as 50, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy and his rahmah, he lessened it to five for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it starts with Fajr. The Fajr salah, there are extremely, extremely big rewards for praying Fajr salah. And we'll cover this in a later session on specifically the prayer of Fajr. But the prayer of Fajr comes in at true dawn. So what is true dawn? We know that true dawn basically is when we see light spread at the horizon on the east, when the sun rises, that the light comes out from the sun, but you don't see the sun yet, okay? And the true dawn appears, the Fajr prayer time starts, and this prayer of Fajr Salah remains until the first glimpse of the sun is seen above the horizon on the eastern side of the horizon. So that's when Fajr starts, and that's when Fajr Salah ends. So Fajr begins when you see the light appear in the sky, when you first see the first light appear in the sky on the eastern horizon, and then Fajr Salah time ends when you see the sun barely coming up, the actual sun coming up over the horizon. That is when the Fajr Salah is over. And then the second prayer, obviously, we know as Dhuhr. The timing for Dhuhr is after the sun passes the zenith. So after the sun passes the true median up north right above us and starts to dwindle towards the west. And so when the sun starts to dwindle towards the west, you know, right after it passes its zenith, meaning like its complete true north, that is when the start of Dhuhr time begins. And then the Dhuhr time ends when the Asr time begins, when the Prophet ﷺ, he said that when your shadow doubles its length as it was during its zenith, meaning that the shadow is actually synonymous with your actual length or your height of an object during the time of the zenith. And then Asr time begins as soon as the shadow doubles in size of the actual item. Okay, so that is when Asr time begins and ends. Now, the Maghrib Salah begins after the entire sun has vanished, after the entire sun has disappeared. So there is still light in the sky, but the sun has disappeared from view. The actual object, the sun has disappeared from view, but you can still see the light from the sun. And when the Maghrib time ends, this prayer lasts until the redness has disappeared in the western horizon. So you can almost say that when the light completely disappears from the sky is when the salah, the Maghrib salah timing has ended. So make sure you pray the salah. And these are, by the way, the windows of time. This is not, you know, alluding to when we should actually pray. The prayer time should be done, you know, preferably right as soon as these prayers come in. But these are just giving you guys examples of the time frame in which you are allowed to pray these prayers, okay? And then the Isha Salah comes in after the time for Maghrib has ended. So Isha officially comes in after the time Maghrib has ended, and it is all the way until the time of the dawn, inshallah. So there's a difference of opinion on how long Isha Salah actually is, but Isha notably is the longest time frame in which a Muslim is allowed to pray, till after the sun has completely disappeared and the true night has begun, until the time where the dawn is appearing again. That is the time of Isha. Another form of obligatory prayer for men is the salah known as Jum'ah, the Friday prayer. The Friday prayer is actually supposed to take place of your Dhuhr salah on Fridays for people who are of age. And so for men, it is 100% obligatory. Obviously, we know recently from COVID that there have been moments in which it is not safe to pray in congregation. And in those cases, you can actually just do your Dhuhr at home. But the general consensus is that when you are praying and you are able to, and there's not something that is impeding your ability to pray, then Jummah Salah is obligatory upon all men who are of age, okay? So now we get to some other prayers that we know as wajib. Now, what's the difference between wajib and fard? There are differences of opinion on this. You know, one of the schools of thought, they actually say that that wajib is different from fard. Some of the schools of thought, they say they are completely synonymous with each other. But, you know, the difference between wajib and fard, people say, is that there's the degree less in terms of wajib. Fard is completely obligatory. Wajib means that it is extremely recommended. It's almost proven to be obligatory, but it cannot be called obligatory in and of itself. Okay, so Salatul Eid falls into this category. The prayer of Eid Salah falls into this category, that, you know, you pray Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, that falls into that category. Another thing that falls into that category is the Salah known as Salat al-Witr. If you guys have ever heard of the prayer called Salat al-Witr, it is actually an odd raka'ah prayer in which you pray after the Isha Salah is over and before the Fajr Salah begins. So you have the option of praying after your Isha Salah, like in the same time as your Isha, or you have the option of praying it before your Fajr prayer. There's a couple of narrations about this that says, indeed, Allah is witr and loves odd number of things. So observe the odd number salah, aka Salat al-Witr, O people of the Quran. So this here, talking about that Allah loves, Allah is witr. Witr means odd. I don't want anyone to get confused about the word odd. Odd is not meaning strange in this number or in this example. The word odd or witr in Arabic means odd in number. Okay, so this, the hadith, is actually talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Okay, he is one, witr. One is an odd number, two is an even number, three is an odd number, four is an even number, and so on and so forth. And so Allah, you know, this hadith says Allah is witr. He is one, he is an odd number, so he loves odd numbered things. And so Salat al-Witr is a wajib salah. There is another narration from the books of Imam, from Sahih Muslim, where it says, whoever hopes to get up at the end of the night, let him make witr at the end of the night. For indeed, the salah in the last part of the night is witnessed, and that is better for him or her. Meaning that getting up in the middle of the night to pray has extremely strong rewards, rather than jumbling everything during your Isha Salah. This is why, by the way, most of you, if you guys have ever witnessed this during Taraweeh, during Ramadan, a lot of masajid, actually, I will say every single masjid that I have ever prayed in, does their witr salah after they pray their tahajjud. Okay? They don't do their witr after Isha, but they do their witr after the tahajjud prayer in the middle of the night before their suhoor in the morning. So then we come across the idea of sunnah prayers. Okay? Now, the beauty of sunnah prayers, okay, the beauty of sunnah prayers is, there's a hadith in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is in the books of Imam Tirmidhi. He says, whoever prays 12 raka'ah during the night and day, a house will be built for him or her in paradise. Okay, whoever prays the 12 raka'ahs during the night and day, a house will be built for him or her in paradise. Now, these 12 raka'ahs, what are they alluding to? They are alluding to the sunnah prayers that you can offer during the day and in the evening. So the Prophet, he mentions the four before dhuhr and the two after it. So in your dhuhr salah, there's four sunnah raka'ahs that come before and two that come afterwards, okay? And then he mentions there are two raka'ahs of sunnah after the prayer of maghrib, after maghrib salah. Okay, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions that there are two raka'ahs after Salatul Isha. Okay, Salatul Isha, and there are two raka'ahs that are before the Fajr prayer. Okay, so that comprises of the 12 raka'ahs of sunnah during the day for a Muslim person. Now, a lot of people, they ask about, what about the four raka'ah before the Salah of Asr, right? So I mentioned the four before Dhuhr, the two after Dhuhr, the two after Maghrib, and then the two raka'ahs after Isha and the two raka'ahs before Fajr. So what about Asr Salah? Is there any sunnah before Asr or after Asr? There is no sunnah after Asr prayer. Okay, no sunnah after Asr prayer. There is one narration that is a lesser degree than authentic narration that says, may Allah have mercy on one who prays four raka'ah before their Asr prayer. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, may Allah have mercy on one who prays four raka'ahs before their Asr salah. But this hadith is not considered strong enough to make Asr sunnah an actual obligation or an actual sunnah by the majority of schools of thought. This is just considered something that you can do. Okay, so that is your sunnah prayers. Along with that, there are other sunnah prayers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to partake in. And by the way, this is one of the beauties of following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that you don't just do the bare minimum, right? You know, when you read about the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a beautiful ayah in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That, you know, verily in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we've given you a beautiful example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For those who put their trust in Allah and the hereafter. Okay? وَيَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And those who remember Allah quite often. So this ayah proves that, you know, in the life of the Prophet is an example that should be followed for those of you who are God conscious. Those of us who are God conscious, those of us who have our hopes in the hereafter. Those of us who want to qualify as people who remember Allah constantly, a very, very big suggested recommendation is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah in a lot of context means an action that is recommended, that is rewarded, but will not be punished if not done. Okay, fard or obligatory commands are deeds that are obviously rewarded if done and punished if not done. Okay, so for example, if you do not pray your five obligatory prayers, there is a sense that Allah will actually hold you accountable to why you didn't perform those obligations. Okay, they're obligatory. When it comes to sunnah prayer, you do them as recommendation, but you will not be punished if you do not partake in them. But there are other narrations, by the way, that if a person has time and they have the ability to take part in their sunnah prayers, they will actually be held accountable if they do not perform them. You know, and by the way, a lot of us, you know, a lot and the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would never ever neglect those extra prayers because they just wanted to pray as much as they possibly could, because any prayer is a prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, apart from the timings that we'll talk about in a little bit that the Prophet forbade prayer in. But sunnah now, unfortunately, has become, oh yeah, you know, like I just prayed my maghrib prayer and I gotta go, you know, I'm starving, so I gotta go finish this food. You know, like we don't really have a real necessity to skip our sunnah prayers. We just do it out of laziness. And at the end of the day, I truly believe, I personally get shivers down my spine when I think about the fact that if I am skipping my sunnah prayer, what excuse do I have when Allah asks me, why did you never engage in your prayers that the Prophet taught you to pray? You know, like what's our excuse? Our excuse was, oh, I had to go find out what happened in the next episode of that show. Our excuse is, oh, I had to find out what happened in the third quarter of the final, the game six of the finals yesterday. Oh, I had to skip it because I had to eat that extra piece of, you know, that extra piece of steak that was waiting for me on the counter. Those aren't good enough excuses. And because of that, unfortunately, we have belittled the meaning of the sunnah prayer so much that we don't even view it as a recommendation anymore. We view it as an option, is what I would say, right? Unfortunately, we view it as an option and not a recommendation. Rather, sunnah prayer is a strong, strong recommendation, and it's not really told to us as an option, right? We should have it in mind that it's a recommendation, that if all things come that you cannot do it, then maybe there's an excuse. But the default is that we should be trying to engage in the salah that brings us closer to the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So some of these are: the Prophet ﷺ used to engage in Taraweeh prayer during the month of Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ used to actually pray Taraweeh much different than we pray Taraweeh today. But there is a sense of the Taraweeh prayer that the Prophet ﷺ used to engage in during the month of Ramadan. Another prayer that the Prophet ﷺ was frequent in was Qiyamul Layl or Tahajjud. Qiyamul Layl literally translates out to standing in the night. Qiyamul Layl, which means standing at night to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was narrated to have been witnessed standing in the middle of the night to pray on several different occasions. The Prophet used to pray while people were asleep. He would sleep a portion of the night after Isha Salah, and he would wake up to pray in the middle of the night before Fajr prayer. Now, I know a lot of us, because of our schedules and our hectic lives and work starting at 7 or school starting at 7 or whatever it may be, we don't necessarily have the drive or the motivation to do our tahajjud every single day. But what I will actually suggest to all of our young Muslims, and this is a suggestion that I actually have for myself, is engage in tahajjud at least once or twice a week. Once or twice a week. Pick your freest day. If it's Saturday, pick that day. Saturday night or Friday night, get up for just even 15 minutes in the middle of the night and offer your salah, right? If your freest day is, you know, a Sunday, then get up in the middle of the night on Saturday for just a few minutes and just drop like 2 or 4 raka'ah in the middle of the night for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are acts that we can do that seem very, very, you know, impossible, but they're very doable if you actually plan and schedule out your time properly. Okay. Another example of a prayer that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray is a salah called Tahiyatul Masjid, which is a 2 raka'ah prayer that is performed by those who enter the masjid before sitting. And it's a way that you almost greet the masjid. So it's a sense of respect towards the masjid. Now, let's talk a little bit about the timings in which prayer is actually forbidden. Okay, there is a time in which prayer is actually forbidden. And there are 3 examples of these of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, okay? The first time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade anyone to pray during this time period is from after Fajr, which is the dawn, until after the sun has risen, okay? Until after the sunrise, okay? And its ascension upon to the length of a spear. So these narrations are obviously used from the language of those who used to live during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying is that the first time of salah that is forbidden to pray during is after you have finished your Fajr obligatory prayer, which is 2 raka'ah, up until the sun has officially risen. Like you can actually see the disk of the sun coming up from the eastern horizon, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ forbade people from praying after their Fajr prayer until the disk in the sun is seen on the horizon, meaning that you should not pray anything after your Fajr Salah. There's no Fajr Sunnah that you can pray. There is an optional prayer that you can actually pray after the disk of the sun is visible in the horizon called Salatul Duha, okay? Salatul Duha, or it's called Ishraq. Okay, it's called Ishraq. You can pray that once the sun is visibly up above the horizon. That's the first one. Then the Prophet he says, it is forbidden to pray when the sun is directly overhead of you. Okay, and so what time is that? A lot of people ask, when is it forbidden to pray during the day? It is when the sun is at its zenith. Okay. When the sun is at its zenith, you cannot pray when the sun shines directly overhead of you. All right. So, for example, if you're wondering when Dhuhr time starts, so we talked about this earlier, Dhuhr time begins after the sun has passed its zenith. So, if the sun is directly above you, the Dhuhr time starts when the sun is starting to decline on its way towards the western horizon, okay? So you cannot pray anything. It's literally forbidden to pray when the sun is directly above you. Now, the last thing that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions is that it is forbidden to pray from after Salatul Asr until sunset, okay? So if you have prayed your Asr Salah, if you have prayed your obligatory Asr Salah, it is forbidden for you to pray after your obligatory Asr up until Maghrib time. And Maghrib time obviously begins when the sun fully has completely disappeared from the horizon and there's only the light that's emanating in the sky. So the Prophet forbade people to pray from after they're done with their Asr obligatory prayer up until the beginning of the Maghrib time. Okay, so those are the moments in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden people to pray during. Now, all of this is very, very technical, but the only thing that I want everyone to kind of reflectively take home today is that salah should not be something that is done out of a burden. Salah is not something that should be done out of a burden. It should not be something that is done because you're just trying to get it over with. It's not something that should be done because I just need to get this thing done. It's something that should be enjoyed. So you should not only enjoy the obligatory ones, but one should actually feel such a connection with their salah that they would want to do the extra ones after it. And so the lesson to take away from today is that those who want to set themselves apart from the others always do extra. And if you think about this in career or school or any sort of hobby or anything, no one really sets themselves apart unless they do something extra. When you're in school, the only way to be the first in your grade or the first in your class is to ask your teacher, how can I do extra? And sometimes that kid is always like made fun of that kid is sometimes always like mocked or joked at because that person's really trying hard. But in Islam, we really value people who try. Islam is based off of effort, y'all. Islam is based off of how much effort you put into it. If you actually put in an effort into your religion, you'll start to see the fruits of that effort be very, very visible. And so mediocrity is achieved by doing the bare minimum when it comes to Islam. You will fulfill your obligations, no doubt about it. You will fulfill every obligation that you have been given. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, fasting during Ramadan, doing Hajj if you're able to do it, giving zakah, right? Doing those things, you will fulfill your obligations, but you will do just that. There will be nothing more than those obligations. And we as Muslims should not be able to rest easy that the most important part of our lives, which is our deen, right? Which is our deen. Literally, it's our deen. We should not be able to rest easy if we are giving other things in our lives extra attention and we're doing the bare minimum when it comes to this deen. If we're going above and beyond for our career, if we're going above and beyond for your school, if you're studying endless days and nights and pulling, you know, all-nighters and taking 5-hour energy and drinking, you know, whatever monster energy drink or Red Bull, whatever it may be that's intoxicating your body because you need to stay up, you're taking like 4 shots of espresso so you can study for the exam coming up tomorrow. If you're doing all that, there is no excuse for us to not pray our sunnah prayers. There's no excuse for us to not do our nawafil prayers or our voluntary prayers. If we're willing to go above and beyond for that, then we should be able to say, Allah, I'm going above and beyond for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who at the end of the day don't just settle for being average, don't just settle for being mediocre, but we want to be exceptional. We want to achieve ihsan. We want to achieve this sort of excellence when it comes to our deen. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, everybody. We appreciate you guys so much. And inshallah ta'ala, on Wednesday, if you are following this series very, very carefully and very, very strategically and in a punctual manner, then on Wednesday we will see you guys on October 14th when we're going to be talking a little bit about the preparation of salah, preparing for prayer. What does it mean to make wudu? What does it mean to have intention? What does it mean to make your niyyah? And what is your etiquette when you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's going to be a really, really interesting one. Will be very practical for a lot of us when we get in the zone for salah, inshallah. All right, guys. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you guys. This was a lot of information today. I apologize for the heavy technical information today, but it was needed for getting the message across. And may Allah accept from all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.